has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, you better wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Monday on B&E, Show of the People. Off we go. What a weekend it was. Hope you had a great one. No Longhorn game, no Cowboy game. That's rare for a Monday. We've got a preview of the Monday Night Football matchup with the Cowboys and Cardinals coming up throughout the course of the morning, and certainly Longhorns took the week off. They'll get ready for Baylor. We'll get you details on that. Does look like it's good news on the Baylor front from Waco. We'll get you details there as well. It's going to be a busy Monday, the good, the bad, and the ugly from a no Longhorn, no Cowboys weekend on this, the 19th of October. Plenty to do. Hope you had a great weekend. Appreciate you starting your work week with us here on a Monday morning. Whether you're finding us on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, or streaming live on that Horn app on your smart speaker or at hornfm.com, always appreciate you being there. Hope you can join us all morning, all day long, live and local, right here on the Horn. How are you, Mr. Godbolt?
Doing well. Doing really, really well. Started out Friday with a fun game out at Hayes.
70 points.
70 to 35. It was the most interesting 70 to 35 game that I've been a part of. It was really...
This was Hayes against Lake Travis.
Yeah, Hayes has got some special players. They got some special kind of kids that Lake Travis will see when they get towards the playoff time. Individual players that have really, really skilled players. And that Hayes team is... When I look at them, I think they're going to make the playoffs again this year.
Think so.
I really, really do. I know there's that final spot always because Lake Travis and, of course, Westlake will take up two of the spots, and I think there's four available. But I got to believe that after watching Hayes, they got a really good chance. They had limited numbers of players, and they played like eight guys both ways. It was like the old high school days, like when I back in the 70s, and I played both ways, played safety and wide receiver. It was... Those guys, you're talking about rotating and doing a great job. I mean, Coach did a fantastic job over there rotating kids in and out, and really nice crowd out there, and it was homecoming. I think it was homecoming already.
Yeah. Well,
I guess
October.
It is October, yeah. But that was an awful lot of fun. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas.
Absolutely.
In the state of Texas and all those that fight for us each and every day, thank you so very much for the job you do. To all of you out there, keep up the good work. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hope you had a great weekend. And it's kind of weird. It's doing this a long time to come in on a Monday with no Cowboys game to talk about. That'll be tonight, a part of a doubleheader on Monday Night Football tonight. Cowboys and Cardinals from Arlington. Kyler Murray back in Arlington. Cliff Kingsbury back at AT&T Stadium. And of course, he was there as head coach of the Texas Tech Red Raiders before now. Of course, Kyler Murray 5-0 in that building, both in high school and in college. Playing the Cowboys without Dak Prescott, which will be interesting with Andy Dalton taking the reins there. And, of course, the early game today, about middle of the afternoon, like a 4 o'clock game, I believe is the kick time, or 4 or 5. I'll get to the exact number. But the Bills and the Chiefs playing this evening. So a doubleheader of Monday Night Football coming off a great weekend. And, of course, here on the Show of the People, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. We'll dive into all of it, including Alabama's pretty good. In college football, we'll run down the college football Saturday. North Carolina, Mac Brown and company take a huge loss. And then yesterday in the NFL, pretty dramatic stuff. And certainly there's Major League Baseball. Let's start with your headlines, your trending topics. Make sure you're in the know as you were up and out on this Monday morning. Let's make sure you got it all. Sharp vision, modern LASIK, believing is seeing, brings you the headlines. And, boy, seeing this, Major League Baseball. Long, strange trip, as they say, but the best two teams in the regular season in 2020 in the MLB will meet in the World Series, after all, with the Tampa Rays and LA Dodgers winning Game 7s over the weekend. Of course, the Rays built a 3-0 lead over Houston, only see the Astros rally back for three straight and force a Game 7, but the Rays got the victory on Saturday night behind big right-hander Charlie Morton, 4-2, the final. They advanced to the Fall Classic. And then last night in Arlington, the Dramatics, the LA Dodgers finished off their rally from 3-1 down to defeat the Atlanta Braves and claim the National League Championship for the third time in the last four seasons. Cody Bellinger played the role of hero with the game tied at 3 in the seventh inning.
Eighth pitch has been the magic one tonight. This time he hits the ball to deep right field. Cody Bellinger has done it! And the Dodgers lead in Game 7.
There it was. The broke the 3-3 tie, 4-3 the score. Then Julio Urias recorded the final nine outs on the mound for the LA. They faced three straight elimination games in that series. to move on to the Fall Classic to face the Rays. The series begins tomorrow night in Arlington at Globe Life Field. College football, Texas Longhorns coming off their bye week, and it appears that their matchup with Baylor this coming Saturday is, quote, on track to be played. That according to Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports. Of course, Baylor's game with Oklahoma State this past Saturday was postponed because of serious COVID-19 issues within the program. Baylor has played only two games this season, but according to Pete Thamel, the game should be, quote, good to go this Saturday at 2:30. Coming up at noon today, we'll have Tom Herman's Game Week News Conference live right here on the Horn to preview that game and talk about the Horn sitting at 2-2 outside the top 25 coming into the week. NFL, the Houston Texans fell to 1-4 on the year yesterday with a 42-36 heartbreaker loss to the Tennessee Titans. Houston rallied from 21-7 down in the second half and really dominated the second half and took a 36-29 lead. But Ryan Tannehill took the Titans on a game-tying drive down the field into the end zone, a touchdown to A.J. Brown, and they force OT in OT. Derrick Henry scored from 6 yards out as the Titans improved to 5-0. Also yesterday, Baltimore, a big winner over Philadelphia. They hold off the Eagles 30-26. Had Chicago improving to 5-1. They beat Carolina. Matt Rule and company 23-16. How about the Pittsburgh Steelers dominate Cleveland in a matchup in the AFC North 38-7. And then the America's Game of the Week yesterday afternoon, Tampa Bay and Green Bay. All Tom Brady and company, 38-10. They dominate the Packers. Packers' first loss on the year. They fall to 4-1. Buccaneers improve to 4-2. How about Aaron Rodgers? Two interceptions. They're up 10-0 in that game, and then the Buccaneers outscored them 38-0. On Sunday Night Football last night, San Francisco down the L.A. Rams 24-16.
This segment brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, now offering all laser LASIK starting at $495 per eye. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, believing is seeing.
Certainly is. What'd you see over the weekend, my friend? Good stuff outside of the Hayes game. How about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? That game was so bizarre. They go up 10-0. Looks like they're going to dominate this game. And then from, gosh, the Buccaneers just opened up a can of you-know-what on the Green Bay Packers, and Tom Brady and company win easily. And Brady didn't do much, 166 yards, two touchdowns, but it was a pick six and then almost another pick six, and then the wheels just came off for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, they got a lot of defense in Tampa, though.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and when they really get healthy on defense, they're going to be a handful because the best quarterback ever to play the game can then become a game manager because he's got all kinds of weapons all around him now. They got a running back that's gone over 100 for three straight weeks. They got an offensive line that protects him pretty well, and he didn't have to really chug it down the field. He got those intermediate routes, big, tall receivers. Gronk caught a touchdown pass down in the scoring zone. So
they're
starting to get back. Tom Brady's starting to get it. He doesn't have to do an awful lot when you got a surrounding cast, especially with that defense. That defense is legit, sort of like the Pittsburgh defense.
Yeah, Levante David was awesome yesterday, sacking Aaron Rodgers, harassing Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. their linebacker, who they use in a lot of places. And Dominican Sue was really good up front. They do. I mean, that's... You know, we talked about it throughout the offseason and into the season. Some teams, especially with new players, are going to take a little while to kind of gel, and there was no preseason. We know that. And the Buccaneers look like a team that are, it's a one-week sample. But, man, they do look like they're putting things together for Bruce Arians. You got Tom Brady reports this week that he was chewing people out and being the leader that Tom Brady is, trying to raise the bar in Tampa, and they certainly did against the Packers, who came in with quite a swagger. They got knocked off. The other team that played with swagger yesterday was Pittsburgh. How about the Steelers? They play Baker Mayfield gets benched for the Cleveland Browns. Coach's decision in the second half because he was terrible. The Steelers are undefeated and looking good. Tennessee is undefeated and looking good. And you realize this coming Sunday, Tennessee plays Pittsburgh in a really good AFC matchup on a Sunday. That'll be fun. But both of those teams, I mean, Derrick Henry is a monster. Ryan Tannehill's playing to an elite level. And the Steelers in the same vein in the AFC. Playing really good football with Ben Roethlisberger back. That was a good team last year. Almost made the playoffs without Ben. Now he's back, and they look the part of a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, Tannehill threw some kind of silly passes, threw an interception down the middle of the field that was ridiculous in the third quarter that just didn't make any sense. I mean, they were doing okay. He had control of the game, and then he was starting to let it slip away a little bit, and the Texans, with their young quarterback, just kind of found their way. I mean, you're talking about a guy with an arm, and there's Fuller just going right by guys. I mean, you're talking about speed. They got speed to burn. They just can't hold up for four quarters. That defense, that last drive was a ridiculous drive that they
too
gave
easy,
up.
Right?
It was way too simple.
Golly.
And I didn't understand going for two
Romeo,
or this
Romeo,
or that.
Romeo, where art thou, Romeo?
Just
come on, man.
Just kick the field goal. You're still up by 4 points. They still got to score. I was like, dude, what are you – why? Just kick the extra point. I didn't know all the thought process that was going to all of
Here's
that.
Here's all I can say. And then you saw it play out. Romeo Crennel, of course, is taken over for Bill O'Brien. The Texans rally from 21-7 down.
Yeah.
They dominate the second half for the most part, and they end up with a six-point lead because they score a touchdown. And give Crennel this credit. They took a 15-play drive down the field inside the two-minute warning, and from the one-yard line, he went for it on fourth down. He could have kicked a field goal to go up 4 points, right? It was 30-29.
Yeah.
He could have kicked a field goal to go up four, and he made the curious decision, go for it. Get the touchdown. And, I mean, seriously, if you don't get it, now you're leaving them on the one-yard line going the other way, but they only need a field goal to win the game. And there's plenty of time left, and they have timeouts. But he goes for it, and Deshaun Watson hits Brandon Cooks for a touchdown. They go up 36-29.
Yep.
And so the obvious thing is kick the extra point, go
Just
up
kick
8 points.
Because you not only have to make a touchdown, you had to make a two-point conversion.
Right. And he goes for two, Romeo Crennel.
Not that day.
And they don't get it. And then, of course, Ryan Tannehill and the Titans get the ball, go all the way down the field and score. But if you saw their defense play in that last drive and then in overtime, he was thinking, there's no way we stop Derrick Henry on a two-point conversion, even if we need to. I don't know. It's the only thing I can think about. That, like, our defense is worn out or not up for – because the defense was terrible – And I
guess he thought he was going for a game winner, which
he wanted to end the game right there.
Yeah.
He wanted to end the game, go up nine.
That's an awful long way to go, though. That's just a...
Well, it's an awful lot of lacking confidence in your football team that we can't stop them not only on a touchdown drive, but on a two-point conversion. But you're right. Go up eight, get the 8-point lead.
Then I got to get a two-point conversion. It's different if it's seven. If you're going for the win, that's fine. But if it's eight, they not only have to get a touchdown, dudes have to get a two-point conversion.
But as it played out, he almost felt prophetic because they couldn't stop the Titans. And then when the Titans got the ball in overtime, they won the coin toss, went right down the field. And Derrick Henry, I mean, we know how overtime rules are now. If you score a touchdown, the game's over. If you force a field goal.
Oh, that pass he caught when he went down the sideline, I said, oh, God.
Well, think about it. Derrick Henry scored the game-winning touchdown on third and goal from the six. From the six-yard line, they ran him out of the Wildcat.
And you know there was only one person who was getting that ball.
And no one touched him. Like, that's how bad Houston's defense was in that point.
Well,
and that leads to this.
He's a beast. 200 yards.
Here's a headline from Jason LaConfora of CBS Sports. He says, will the Texans trade off key pieces ahead of the trade deadline? Trade deadline is 2 weeks from tomorrow. And there's a lot of scuttle within the NFL that Cal McNair and the Texans may go ahead and say, you know what, this is a lost season. And guys like Whitney Merciless and Will Fuller and Bradley Roby, their best cornerback, guys who other teams would want to try to recoup some draft picks because they've traded all their draft picks with Bill O'Brien, that maybe Houston could be in a sell-off mode.
Imagine
here.
Their quarterback going, all of a sudden, now they're trading off everything I have, and I'm going to be stuck here in Houston. With nobody.
Well, I think it's the long game. I mean, at this point, if you're Houston, you're 1-4, and this season's not going to be what you expected. You have your quarterback. You've got Laremy Tunsil at left tackle. You've got some pieces, but you know you need draft picks. You got to rebuild because
who,
you're
by the way, played pretty average yesterday when I was watching him.
Yes, which one?
Laremy Tunsil.
Tunsil. Well, actually, he played pretty good, what I saw. But either way, he's grading out pretty well with Pro Football Focus. Laremy Tunsil as a left tackle, but. And by the way, the Titans lost their left tackle, Tyler Lewan, to what they think is a knee injury, which could be a season ender, which could be a crusher for them. But we'll see if Houston. It's 2 weeks to the trade deadline, and there's talk that a lot of their best good players could be available, including Merciless, Bradley Roby, Zach Cunningham, guys that the other teams could use right now, pieces that could bring draft picks back for Houston. Not high picks, I don't think, but just picks because they need young players.
They need guys in the secondary too.
Well, because they're capped out. They don't. Their cap is the problem, and they don't have draft picks. So how do you get better if those are the situations? So that was fun on Sunday to watch. It was a good football game. If you're a Texans fan, it was disappointing, but it was fun to watch. And then, boy, the game of the week yesterday afternoon just turned into a rout, which led into Sunday night, and some pretty good football on a Sunday, which we will talk about throughout the course of the day and the course of the morning here. The good, bad, and ugly from the busy football weekend. And Tom Brady, you're right about the Bucs, man. They are of anything that I saw this weekend, that surprised me more than anything, how dominant they were. The Packers just looked terrible.
Yeah, they looked like they were playing like they did last year when they played the 49ers twice. They looked like they were in it. And then once the Packers give out, man, do they ever just kind of, that defense just kind of gives up. They do. They just kind of give it up.
That was not, I mean, we've talked about the Packers and their young coach and 4-0 this year, 13-3 a year ago. They were a game away from the Super Bowl and just, you know, they hadn't committed, think about it, they hadn't committed a turnover in four games. And then yesterday, Aaron Rodgers starts throwing it to the Bucks, pick six, and then also another pick on the next series that went down to the 2 yard line, and Ronald Jones punched it in. That is not the way we've seen the Packers play the last 2 years, so that had to be a surprise. And you said it about the Buccaneers; they're improving, especially on defense. And as you said, Tom Brady can just kind of manage the thing, lead the deal from atop.
Absolutely, and they can run the ball.
Ronald Jones, good player out of USC, and they'll get Leonard Fournette back running the ball. So we see some good, we see some bad, and we see some ugly in the National Football League. What did you see in college football, Buck? Alabama, pretty good, pretty good.
It doesn't matter how good you are in defense. You can't hold them down. There's too many weapons. And the quarterback is playing all world. I mean, like, first team All-American. He is.
Mac Jones.
Yeah, man, he's playing. And those guys get so open. They make great catches. They got great hands. They use their hands. They don't use their body. And the offensive line is playing well. And they hardly even ran the big guy. The big guy was just there a little bit, but you couldn't stop him in the passing game.
Well, and that's the thing, right? I
mean, and they'll play Georgia again. Georgia is they're good. Nobody else is going to beat Georgia. They'll go undefeated from this point on.
So we'll see that again in the SEC championship game in December.
Yes.
They will win the East, it looks like. Because Tennessee, we thought, man, Tennessee got smoked by Kentucky on Saturday. Florida. Now Dan Mullen has the COVID, the head coach, after they played the Aggies. Of course, there was an outbreak within that team. They had to postpone their game with LSU, and now the head coach has COVID. And, of course, the COVID situation surrounded Nick Saban, who was supposed to be out, and all of a sudden three straight negative tests.
I told you he'd be at the stadium.
He figured it out, man.
I told you he would be there.
I kept saying,
what? The guy's going to be at the stadium.
Hey, false positive, man, false positive. And he was there, and that game was 24-21. And Alabama erupted. They scored three touchdowns in about 5 minutes. It felt like the long touchdown pass to Devontae Smith, and then
their defense buckled down a little bit better.
They did.
Too.
Well, this is what we talk about with the Texas Longhorns, who we'll turn the gears and turn the attention to coming up. You know how bad they've been in the third quarter of football games this year. Outscored 38-14. Outgained 400 yards to 100 yards in the third quarter in Big 12 play. That's the opposite of Alabama, right? You know, they struggled. They gave up some big plays. Georgia was kind of doing some things, and Kirby and company had a good rhythm. That's what great coaches do. That's what great, you know, programs do. They went into the half, came out, and exploded. Just you know, made the adjustments they needed to make. They knew they didn't panic whatsoever, and that's Nick Saban's MO, right? I mean, to fix things at the half, figure out what's going on.
You always say that. You say this a lot about Alabama. You have to play four full quarters of football against Alabama. You can't play three
phase.
And a half.
In every phase.
You can't play four. You can't do it in the fourth quarter and say, okay, there's 8 minutes to go. We got this, and we're down. We're up by 12. We're up by 10. We got Alabama. It's like you have to play them to the very end. They play to the end of the game.
In every phase.
Yeah.
When I was thinking about that, I mean, for the Georgia side, can you maybe, like, I don't live in Atlanta, but I don't know that I would wish anyone to be an Atlanta area sports fan the last 5 years. I mean, Georgia, of course, coughed up the national championship to Alabama, the two a year. Then you have the Atlanta Falcons, who have now, they found a win, by the way, on Sunday, fired their coach, and they beat the Minnesota Vikings.
Of course.
But still, the Vikings blew the 28-3 Super Bowl lead. And now the Atlanta Braves in Major League Baseball had a 3-1 lead on the L.A. Dodgers. They had three chances to close that bad boy out and to go to the World Series for the first time since 1999, and the L.A. Dodgers won all three games, including last night, which was pretty dramatic stuff. Mookie Betts doing Mookie Betts stuff in the outfield, making unbelievable plays. And then Cody Bellinger, of course, hits the home run to win it. Can you imagine? I mean, if you live in Atlanta, you're gut punched over and over again because, you know, if you're a Braves fan, you probably didn't expect to be a win away from the World Series, but you were. And
right.
There you were. You had three chances, win one game. Couldn't finish it off. Dodgers win three straight nights, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and they're going to the World Series to face the Tampa Rays, who eliminated the Astros on Saturday night, which was disappointing for an Astros fan. But good baseball, good football. Longhorns back on track. We have Tom Herman at noon today, and it is good to hear that it does feel like, I mean, it's amazing when I was reading about Baylor starting to get ready for this week in this game. They've only played two games. I mean, what is going on in Waco? We have to figure that out this week. I mean, are they not taking the virus seriously, or is this just bad luck? you know, they had to postpone their game with Oak State. They had to postpone their game with Houston. Remember Dana Holgorsen and Houston came all the way to Waco, and they told them, oh, sorry, can't play. And then, of course, their game with Louisiana Tech that they were supposed to play earlier this year was also postponed. And I think they're going to play Texas on Saturday. I think so. But don't count your chickens.
Yeah, not too soon. And then how about the beat down at Clemson put on Georgia Tech? That was a college game. Those are college players. Whoa.
Well, I mean, that when you watch Trevor Lawrence play, that's just not fair. Like, that dude, like, I saw our buddy Kevin Dunn from the Afternoon Show tweeted this, and he's right. He says, you know, the Heisman Trophy has become a quarterback's award, but the best player in the country is not always a quarterback, but he always seems to win the Heisman, Kevin said. Mm-hmm. But the best player in the country this year is playing quarterback, and he's playing at Clemson.
I mean, oh, for sure.
I mean, that dude is special. I mean, the throws he was making, I mean, that they won 73-7. Clemson doesn't even have competition in the ACC. That dude
wasn't like 50-something at half.
Yeah,
50, no, I mean 52-7.
But he's the equivalent of Najee Harris, who plays for Alabama, the running back. Right, he's a pro playing with college players. Trevor Lawrence is that at quarterback. Like, he is a pro. Like you watch Trevor Lawrence play, and then you watch some NFL on Sunday. He could play in the National Football League right now.
I would be
one of the better players.
Yeah, I'd give up Sam Darnold. I'd go ahead and tank. I'm the Jets.
He is. Like, literally, that's not hyperbole or a joke. Trevor Lawrence could be playing in the NFL right now and be one of the top 15 quarterbacks in this league right now.
Maybe half, yeah.
And he's playing in college, and he's tearing up people like Georgia Tech, with just making incredible throws, reads. The game is so slow for him. Georgia Tech was hapless.
By the way, that's not going to be a good game versus Notre Dame. They're gonna screw them into the ground.
I don't think so.
I don't either. I watch Notre Dame play, and I'm thinking
Notre Dame scored 12 points against Louisville.
We're watching the kid, what's it, Ian Book, play quarterback. He's just average.
Just a guy.
He's just a guy.
Good kid, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Good student.
Nice guy.
Trevor Lawrence shoots good free throws.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, different level.
Yes.
Different level. I mean, that's where Clemson, like, even in a matchup against Alabama, you'd favor Alabama just because of all the talent. But Trevor Lawrence.
Oh no! Plus, when their play caller gets cranking there, they get wide open guys too.
Yeah,
it's like Lincoln Riley. They tend to have guys like, why is he so wide open?
Well,
scheme you pretty good.
He's the best college quarterback you've seen in a long time.
For sure.
And again, he could be playing on Sundays already in my mind, and would be playing pretty well. He'd be better than a lot of the quarterbacks you watch on a Sunday
afternoon.
Trevor
Lawrence versus the kid from Alabama is going to be quite the matchup. Well,
guess what? We're getting Clemson, Alabama again when it's all said and done.
I think so.
How many times has that happened in the last?
Clemson, Alabama, or Clemson, Georgia, or, by the way, two are going to probably go from the SEC again. That's what's going to happen. Well, if Georgia can beat Alabama,
starts Monday, Saturday, the Big Ten's back.
Who?
The Big Ten. The Big Ten's coming back Saturday.
All seven games they're going to have,
we will finally get to see Ohio State play a football game, Penn State, and some others.
Does that mean the Pac-12 comes back too?
I think so. I think so at some point. I'll have to look that up.
Nobody cares though, right?
No one really cares.
Nope. Nope,
Oregon.
Nobody cares.
We want to see Oregon play.
That's the only one.
Right, we'll see Oregon. Back. Table set. We're talking the weekend, the good, the bad, and the ugly from your favorite teams. Astros take the L in Game 7. It was dramatic, and an old foe, Charlie Morton, who helped the Astros win a World Series, was the adversary. We'll get to the baseball. Dodgers get a big win. Football over the weekend, good, bad, and ugly. Talking about it with you, and we'll get into the Longhorns. The Eyes of Texas debate, Tom Herman under fire. Get ready for Baylor news conference at noon today. We'll start to drill down on that game as we move forward coming off the bye week. Plenty to do. Busy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. Good, bad, and ugly here on B&E.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Hope you had a great weekend, B&E, on a Monday. It's going to be a busy one. If you're a Texas Longhorn fan, high noon today. Probably want to be tuned in to hear Tom Herman's game week news conference. Should be interesting. Well, of course, previewing the Baylor game on Saturday. But obviously, after the events of last week with the Eyes of Texas debate and who was told what when and who's in charge and all those conversations, fair to say there'll be some interesting thoughts from Tom Herman today as the Longhorns get ready for Baylor. And it should be of course, he and Dave Aranda, the head coach at Baylor, played college football together. They're good friends, so there's some storylines there. And Baylor did practice yesterday, resuming on-field activities after their latest pause for COVID-19. So there's a Baylor side to that. But, Buck, it's fair to say, tuning in at noon today, I don't know what to expect, but it should be interesting because...
They may not even ask him a question about that.
I doubt that will... I do not
really?
Believe... Well, I just... It, I mean, that's what I would be highly disappointed in if the Austin media did not ask Tom Herman a question.
No, they'll ask him what kind of ice cream do you have over the weekend.
I don't know. I think
they'll probably just bypass that. They'll be said, hey, listen, try not to ask Coach about the eyes of Texas.
You remember,
we got it handled.
You know, last week at the beginning of the week, coming off the ugly loss to Oklahoma and the ugly scene on the field afterwards with Sam Ehlinger as the only player, or seemingly the only player out there for the eyes of Texas, which led to an uproar within the Longhorn fan base. You know, early in the week, it was, you know, Tom Herman read a statement last Monday that was a prepared statement. But then, of course, by middle of the week, other coaches on the Longhorn campus had come out and said, you know, we were told clearly what the idea was. That was not the idea. We should be you don't have to sing the eyes of Texas. You don't have to, but you have to be there as a team and united as a team. And that has not been the case. This will be our first chance to hear from Tom Herman since the week that was, which, you know, I think it's a turning point week. And I always say this, Buck, there are certain people, when I start hearing from them on my phone, my text messages,
mm-hmm.
You can tell something's moving. There's stuff happening behind the scenes at Texas right now. I can't sit here and report what it is, but this is a critical juncture. And some would argue that the Tom Herman era is over. Like, this thing is already a dead man walking situation.
I believe it is. I think it is dead man walking. He can take this team and they can flip this thing, and because of how bad the Big 12 is, period, they can get to a championship game. I think they'd have to win a championship game for just a possibility of him returning. Other than winning the Big 12 championship, another loss is dooming. Oh my goodness, don't lose to Baylor, a team that hasn't played any games, or a team that's got a brand new coach, and he's a friend of yours. Don't lose that game. But
you realize they're going to play October 24th, and that's Baylor's second game. They've been playing football supposedly since September.
Absolutely.
And they played two.
But you got to go play the game. So, if you want to be in the game, there's some things that you have to do, even against a team that's only played two games, and you have to buckle up and straighten up. And for the players, it doesn't really – for the players, whether Tom Herman's here or not, a bunch of them will be returning back here. So they need to get their asses in gear, because they have some responsibility in these losses too.
Well, and I'll say, for the dead man walking comment, there's – the animus within the Longhorn fan base is something – I've never seen it like this. You and I have been doing this a long time.
I smelled it during Charlie's tenure. Kansas,
frustrated.
It was over with.
Well, with Charlie, it almost became apathetic. There was almost just a, but with Tom, there's a venom to it that is people like,
they don't trust him.
Well, they feel like their traditions are being torn down that are, 100 years old, whether that's good or bad, but that he doesn't, I don't know. There's just the level of animus towards this current regime is palpable. It's strong.
It won't matter. Like I said, the money won't matter. If they want you out, you'll be out.
Right. Because, again, let's be fair, you and I, we've talked about, he'll be here for this year and next year. There's no doubt about that. Well, now we're both to the point of...
It won't matter. The money's... They'll find it.
And that's why I'm saying, how do you overcome the financial burden of buying out Tom Herman and his staff and hiring a new staff?
Because we talk for the long haul, and the long haul is that Texas football is going to go on, and they can't afford to have donors and people that want to buy season tickets if he's around again.
Well, I go back to and listen to shows we did before the Oklahoma game. We talked about the crossroads game that it was, right? It's a crossroads for Lincoln Riley's season. It was a crossroads game for Tom Herman's tenure. Well,
yes.
The game went horrible for Tom Herman. We know that, right? And then the week that followed was brutal. It was a brutal week. And it feels like there's mistrust between the athletic director and the head coach. And maybe we get some clarity on that today. Probably not. I don't know, at noon today. It will certainly be asked about your relationship and, what about the other coaches coming out and saying that this was the plan. Those things will be asked today. I think they have to be.
I'm pretty sure Brian Davis will ask one of those questions.
Well, I think a lot of people will. Chip Brown and the crew at Horns 24/7, they reported that last week about the other coaches, Eddie Reese and other Texas coaches coming out and saying, Chris Del Conte was pretty specific with how this was going to go and how we handle the eyes of Texas thing as teams and coaches and leaders. Last week was such, even more than I could have imagined as far as the crossroads being burned. Like, it was just, there's such a level of frustration and anger within the fan base, not just about the bad football. The bad football has been going on for 10 years now, but the lack of respect for traditions and things that are important to people that matter at Texas, And we'll see how Tom Herman addresses that, because he's got to. And you know who else has to be strong this week is Chris Del Conte. I don't think he can be silent this whole week. I don't believe that that's something that can happen. He has to be out in front of, because I don't know, you just hear and see enough that, yeah, I mean, look, there are specifics to Texas right now. Like Jordan Whittington's hurt again. I don't know if we've seen that, but Jordan Whittington's got a soft tissue issue in his abdominal that he's dealing with. He's going to be out.
Is that the same injury?
Yeah, I mean, that's a weird deal, but it's almost like the specific things about this week's game pale to what's happening above it, and that seems, I don't know what.
I had it written in my notes today. You've got to find a way to get Jordan Whittington in the game and counteraction and things like that, and he's hurting again, huh?
Yeah, he's just got soft tissue abdominal thing.
That's that whole thing that he went through.
That was the hernia,
the hernia
last year. Yeah, it's a weird. And, he, of course, he's been oft injured. He had 10 catches against Oklahoma and looked like he was ready to break out as a redshirt freshman.
Well, he's one of the only players on his football team that can play at some of the teams that we saw this weekend. You know what I mean? The Clemsons, the Alabama. He's one of the only players offensively that can play out of, you know, maybe the top three, four guys.
He's a playmaker, right?
He's a player. He looks like a real-life football player on the field that he can do some things. But that... It's too bad. Just bad luck for that kid.
Right. This is Eve reporting that Hermie is dead man walking. Look, it just feels like Tom Herman is dead man walking right now based on the reading of the leaves and just listening to folks.
There'll be a trust level that'll never happen, never come back again.
Right. But can't. I mean, it feels like a fractured relationship with he and the fan base and he possibly and his boss.
I don't know enough about that. We'll find that part is between those two. They'll either work together or somebody will be gone, but it won't be Chris Del Conte. He won't be gone. I mean,
it'll feel like it.
Yeah, but, no, but they'll figure that out.
But we'll see. I mean, that's noon today with Tom Herman in the news conference, and we'll hear more about the Jordan Whittington situation. That is unfortunate. But I was watching. So Auburn lost to South Carolina on Saturday, and I was watching. But at the same time, I'm watching Auburn with this freshman running back Tank Bigsby, our man Cole Kubelik told us about on Saturday on Friday. I mean, I'm watching him thinking. You know, where's Bijan Robinson? When does Texas, as you've always said, develop a player? Like a player who is supposed to be great that shows up and is great.
Like I said last week, if I'm Tom Herman, I'm telling the running back coach, you better have that guy ready. You've got 2 weeks to have that kid ready for everything that we do. I don't want to see 26 run out there. If the Roschon Johns is ready to go, he can play. But that freshman, this is a highly recruited freshman. He needs to be playing. It's game five. Yeah. Come on, guys. I mean, Stan Drayton's supposed to be this running back guru, but so far Stan Drayton's shown me nothing since he's gotten here. Yeah. I mean, and that's just the truth. I mean, this is a high-level guy who's coached in the pros, but he's been pretty average running back coach since he's come to Texas. I mean, this is Texas. This is where the running backs come to, and they come to flourish. They don't come to die at Texas, running backs. They come to flourish. And I haven't seen anything from him since he's been
here. The big picture stuff for Tom Herman at noon today, but at the same time, the on-the-field stuff, the fair question is, to what you just said, you hired seven new coaches to develop players. I mean, that was the reason given.
Yes.
We didn't develop our players enough last year. Players aren't getting better. Players aren't improving. We're recruiting well, but we're not developing. Well, when do we see that show up on a football field?
I saw the sophomore at A&M running back Spiller. Oh my goodness.
Look, I mean, A&M is, I mean, if you want, we went into the season talking about the parallels between Jimbo Fisher and Tom Herman. This is a year for both to kind of show the fan base, hey,
yes,
we got the right guy. Well, I think Jimbo Fisher's starting to earn some of that credit and starting to put something on the field, a product on the field.
They use their running back.
Yeah, well, Spiller's a good player. And Kellen Mond is, you know, he's not spectacular,
but he's
efficient. But they're getting the most out of Kellen Mond. They're using Kellen Mond in a smart way. They're running the football. They're physical. They got good tight ends, and you know,
they use their tight end.
They lack big picture. They're really game breaking outside players right now, especially with the opt outs that they've had. But their defense with Mike Elko is tough and physical and well coached.
They don't have a lot of penalties. They just play.
Yeah, I mean that would be my thought on A&M watching them. There's a step forward there. You see progress. You see players developing. You see an identity emerging within A&M of what they are, which is what Jimbo Fisher wants it to be. Tom Herman's still in year four. Can't tell you what the identity of his football team is and what they are, what they do well, what their strengths are. Outside of Sam Ehlinger, and he's not perfect. I mean, people will get texts about Sam, you know, part of the problem. Sam's their best player by 10 miles.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. That's how bad it is. I said there's only like three players on offense.
Yeah.
And this whole offensive group that they've recruited, that offensive line and just Cosme's the only guy that line.
So last week during the week of turmoil, a lot of people pointed out, well, Sam missed a lot of passes and threw some interceptions, and he did. But he also accounted for 500 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Well, yeah.
He was the only guy doing anything.
If you've got him, he can't be your only player on offense. It's just not. If he's going to.
Running backs aren't doing
control
anything.
Control 87% of your offense. That's ridiculous, guys. Come on.
If your only identity is 11, and he's not perfect, he's been inaccurate this year. I think he's battling some injuries and whatnot, especially throwing the football.
As I watch this, without the fly sweeps and handing the ball off and the counter plays, I think Tom Herman must go in his basement and just think about his offense. Because all over the country, teams are running, they're back to counters. They're doing counters with tight ends pulling, with tight ends covering up for vacant backside guards and tackles. This group of just turning around and zone read, that's over with. I don't understand why they haven't done anything.
Mushy, you called it. Mushy.
It is mushy offense.
Mushy
man.
Offense. all right, so we'll take your thoughts. That's noon today, Tom Herman News Conference. Should be interesting television. Then, of course, we have a Monday Night Football game at 4 o'clock today. How about late afternoon football today with a pretty good football game, Bills and Chiefs.
This team can beat Baylor, though, right? This team here,
I don't.
Would almost say, they
sure,
can beat Baylor.
But they can lose to Baylor, correct?
They can't lose to Baylor.
Why?
They only played 2 games. Baylor doesn't even know. They're just practicing and going virtual to school and showing up at the gym. They haven't played any real live games yet. They can't lose to Baylor.
They could. I mean, I've watched them. I mean, could they beat Baylor? Absolutely. They probably should beat Baylor, but nothing will surprise you at this point. But, no, I would pick Texas to win Saturday, but who knows. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue these conversations. We'll get into the doubleheader of Monday Night Football, why the Chiefs and Bills are going at 4 o'clock today, which is pretty interesting. Also, the World Series is set. The Astros season comes to an end. We're taking the good, the bad, and the ugly from a heck of a sports weekend. First, though, Craig Way with the Craig Way Report.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
What a weekend, good, bad, and ugly. Plenty of all three, of course. Always is, always are. Things to talk about. And it's a weird Monday with no Longhorn game to discuss. They had a bye. No Cowboys game. That'll be tonight. Cowboy football right here on the Horn tonight. 6:30 pregame with the Monday Night Football kick. Arizona in town. Cliff Kingsbury and the Cardinals. Kyler Murray and company. Cowboys going forth without Dak Prescott. That starts tonight. The post-Dak Prescott era. Is that it for him, or is Dak Prescott coming back? He'll be the Dallas Cowboys quarterback after he's healthy and back. That is still a question. Stephen and Jerry Jones both yesterday saying, you know what, he is our future. We're going to get it done. But there are a lot of people believe that maybe that is his last game as a Cowboy based on his pending free agency, franchise tag, the whole thing. Tonight, Andy Dalton, the former TCU Horned Frog, takes the reins of the Cowboys offense. Bigger issue for Dallas has been their defense, and their offensive line is a mess as well. So we'll see if tonight's a steady dose of Zeke Elliott and that running game, trying to make things easy on the Red Rocket, as they call him. Is it the Red Rifle or the Red Rocket?
What Red Rifle.
Like? You like Red Rifle?
Yeah, it's supposed to be
better than Red Rocket.
Yeah, Red Rocket, something totally different to me. It's that corny dog and a puppy dog. That's totally different
Sorry,
to me.
Sorry, I said Red Rocket. I meant Red Rifle.
Red Rocket's Matt Bonner.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Thank you, Zay.
It all reminds me of a
Matt
corny
Bonner.
Dog. So.
The Red Rocket.
Yeah. You know, throughout all of this, it doesn't, you know, for Longhorn fans, you know, we can, you know, be upset at Tom Herman or not figure or try to figure out what's going on between he and Chris Del Conte and the school and the song. But the football players have to still play games, and they all aren't going to be in the transfer portal. There are going to be a bunch of those guys that will be back here over the next couple of years. So what you have to do, whether Tom Herman's the coach or, you know, Zay's the coach, the football team and the players have to get better. So this is a week that they need to get better as individuals, because once again, this group has a part in some of the failures of this football team. The actual players themselves who don't perform at a high level, we can look at the coaches, and I can look at the running back coach and say he hasn't been getting things done, and you know, we can look at the offensive line coach and say he hasn't got things done. But some of the players need to take to heart that they are pretty good football players, they were pretty good football players, and they have to live up to what their part of the bargain is too. Throughout all this, and this is a game that they have to win. They got to play a bunch of other games the rest of the way. And if I were them, I would kind of buckle up my own ass and start getting myself together, whether it's the coaches or not. And whether you have all this leadership from above, you're the ones that have to actually be in the games. And it's time for them to start playing some football, really. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
The games won't go away because we talk about Tom Herman in the eyes of Texas. The games will still be here on Saturday, so the players' responsibility is to show up and play the best football they can play somehow, some way.
We'll talk more about Coach Herman and what's coming this week and our Coach's Corner coming up. Also, the busy weekend, good, bad, and ugly, Buck. How about the Green Bay Packers go up 10-0 yesterday and get outscored 38-0 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 38-0. That is, according to Elias Sports, the most consecutive points Green Bay has allowed in any Aaron Rodgers start in his career. They went from 10-0 up to 38-10 losers, which is incredible. Also, Bill Belichick lost a game yesterday.
Ugh.
First time in 39 matchups. 39 times. That's the first time yesterday that Bill Belichick lost a game in which his team did not allow a touchdown. They didn't allow a touchdown, yet they lost 18-12 because Brandon McManus of the Broncos kicked 6 field goals. No touchdowns allowed, yet they lost the game. That's the first time that's happened in Bill Belichick's career.
What was Cameron Newton doing during the course of this game?
They were lousy. They were bad yesterday. And coming up in our B&E Factor, they will tell you something happened in the Houston-Tennessee game that's only happened one other time in the history of the NFL, which is pretty incredible. But let me mention this on the baseball side of things. Astros fall to the Rays on Saturday night. Give the Rays credit. It's hard to lose 4 straight games, but the Astros had their chances. Lance McCullers gave up. How do you throw a fastball to Randy Arozarena in the first inning if you're Lance McCullers? The guy's killing every fastball. He can't hit a breaking ball nearly at that level, and they give up a home run. It's 2-0. Then Zunino hits a home run. Astros could never get a big hit. Give Charlie Morton.
It's
the guy the Astros never should have let go. I still don't understand. Remember the Astros won the World Series in 2017. Do we remember this? And the guy who closed it out, the hero, one of the heroes of the team, was Charlie Morton. They let him walk to Tampa for really no reason. I know there will be those that argue that say he wanted to go. He did not. The Astros did not make him a priority, and he left. I could argue that if they re-signed Charlie Morton after 2017, they win 2 more championships. They may have won last year. They wouldn't have had to trade for Zach Greinke. I mean, Charlie Morton is a stud, and you let him walk out the door, and then he came back to beat you in a Game 7 situation. Big game Charlie Morton was awesome.
Big game Charlie.
Was awesome. Give the Rays credit. They'll play the Dodgers for the World Series beginning tomorrow night, and we'll get into some of that Dodger stuff. Cody Bellinger with the big home run. We'll hear that coming up, and Corey Seager, the MVP. Can we get to your B&E Fact of the Day on a Monday?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
NFL history made yesterday in Tennessee. Tennessee beat the Texans 42-36 in overtime. Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry became the second pair of teammates ever to have a 300-yard pass, 4-touchdown quarterback, and a 200-yard rushing, 2-touchdown running back in the single game. It's only the second time it's ever happened in NFL history. Can you hazard a guess of who were the other pair that did it? 300 yards and 4 touchdowns, 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, same game, same team. Next.